19, 1980. I'm speaking with Virginia Scotton at 8 East Ring Factory Road in Bel Air, Maryland. 19, 1980.
You think it's going to work all right now?
Yeah.
Three prongs and you have
that. Well, the battery. I don't have a cold. I have allergies. What was that? It was October what in the Democrat?
I don't have a cold. I have allergies.
What was that? It was October what in the Democrat?
Okay.
They had a little book.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me one, of course, when I put my article on about me. But I don't know. I don't take very good pictures, do
I? Oh, sure you do. What I wanted to do is record your memories and talk to you a little bit about your life and
mm-hmm.
and things that you remember about Harford County and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do with this?
Well, this is going to be part of our oral, so I'll just...
I just wondered, because different times that people have come here, you know, it's been for the paper, as I said, for the homemakers and different things like that, and then I had a lot of pictures that were taken at the church when I would have World Community or World Day of Prayer or something of that sort, you know, and then be right up there.
Hmm. Well, let's start out with how did you come to Harford County?
Well, I came to Harford County when my father was assigned to North Harford Church, and it was then four churches, and I was about 18 years of age, so that would make me 78 years, wouldn't it, here in Harford County.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after my father was assigned to North Harford Church, when I was teaching school, I must have started when I was either 19 or 20 teaching school. But then I taught up until I was married at 25. But when you, back in those years when you got married, why, then you didn't teach anymore. Now, I'll tell you, the way this woman has it written, she has a right good write-up, and that's the only thing in that where she made a mistake was something about the ark, because I go to it and they ask me to join it, but I belong to many other seniors. Things that I didn't join. So that was the only mistake she had. I thought that if that would be any good to you, you could read that over. You want to read that over?
Well, I'd rather get you talking about it. Well, where did your father originally come from?
My father was from Bedford County, Pennsylvania.
And what was his name?
Reverend J. R. Pardew, P-A-R-D-E-W.
And so he was a Methodist minister.
Yes.
And how?
It wasn't United Methodist then, but it is now. It was a Methodist Episcopal when he was preaching.
And how many kids were there in your family?
Four.
And so then when you came to Harford County, where did you first move to?
Well, there in Dublin. The parsonage was in Dublin. And there wasn't anybody. It was just my sister and I that were home then. And well, my father was married the second time, and there were some of those children. I mean, you tell them those kind of things. Does it make any difference about the children?
Well, if you'd like to tell me about them.
Well, I Megan's were two of the my father being married the second time, and they were the second bunch of children. There were four of my own by my own mother, and there were only two of them left at home when we came to the two boys were away were in business from the time he came to Dublin, and they weren't at home. So there were just the two, and then these were about two of the second lot of children. But,
do you remember much what it was like up in Dublin? Was it a very big church? And
well, it was a right good sized church. There were four churches, as I say, on the chart. There was Franklin and Dublin and Emory. And well, now there's only just the two of them, just Emory and Dublin. Oh, Mount Vernon and Franklin. There were four. Mount Vernon, Franklin, Dublin, and Emory. Those four churches.
Okay. And what was it like in Dublin? Was it a very quiet community, or what was up there then?
Well, not much of anything, just the church was the main place for people to go. In those days, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of different things going on in the neighborhood, just ordinary community things and mostly the church affairs.
Hmm. Do you remember, was it mostly farmers that went to the church?
Well, yes, a good many of them were. We're farmers.
And then now, did you go to school any in Harford County?
No. I was through school, and I was studying up to be, when I came here, when Father was sent there to North Harford, I was preparing to teach. And I was just studying up in those days, instead of going to so many preparations for teachers, why they had, and you know, just like when they later on when they had the normal school in Towson, that was when my daughter was old enough, you know, to go. And when I was started teaching, they just held examinations, and you had to pass that examination before you could teach. I'd rather been going to school. Instead of having to take that awful, terrible examination. So of course I did pass it, or I wouldn't have been teaching.
Okay, and once you passed it, what did you do? Where did you teach?
Well, I taught at Greenwood Graded School. It was a two-room school. And I taught first four grades in the morning, and in the afternoon I taught seventh and eighth grade. Then, after I taught there for about 3 years, then I taught up at a one-room school where I had from one to through the ninth grade.
Where was that?
All in one school. That was Mount Vernon School up there, not very far from Prospect. You see, that's where I lived at Prospect after I was married. Of course, when my father left here and I went to teaching, then I boarded with family at Prospect because I was teaching right there close to Prospect at that Mount Vernon school. So that was after my father left. He stayed there 5 years, and then I stayed and was married when I was 25, and then I just continued to live up there in that same neighborhood where I had taught.
Now, what was the schools like? Did they have chalkboards?
Yeah, they had blackboards. Mm-hmm.
And where did you get your textbooks and things that you teach?
Well, they furnished them from the county.
Do you remember any of the kids that you had? Were they pretty well disciplined?
Well, I'll tell you, they obeyed me real well. I just had a few rules, and I just, when I started each of the two schools where I taught, I told them right at the beginning what rules I would expect to have, and so I thought the fewer the rules, the better that they would be for keeping those in mind and obeying them. And they did, and they just liked to be trusted. If I would go, if somebody would rap on the door and I'd go and talk to somebody in the vestibule, they just were as quiet and nice as could be, you know, instead of carrying on. And they seemed to like it, you know, to be trusted. And they behaved themselves and kept very quiet because, you know, hearing all those classes, they wouldn't have heard what I was saying if they were made any noise. Quite different from what schools are nowadays.
Well, now, was this part of the church? I mean, did you meet right in the church, or was it separate?
Oh, no, it was a separate. It was school building.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how did you keep warm in the winter?
Well, we just had what's called those pot-bellied stoves, you know, and had coal.
And I guess children would have to bring their lunches?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And
have their breakfast at home and then bring their lunch.
Were most of them farm children?
Well, I guess most of them were. There weren't too many other occupations in those days. But they're very slim on farms now.
Mm-hmm. Now, those schools, you got married, you said?
Mm-hmm. After I had taught them, when I was 25, I started teaching when I was about 19, and I taught them about three years, let's see, at Mount Zion, and out here, that's just out close to that Zion Church, you know, a Greenwood Grave, they called it. And then the other was the Mount Vernon School.
Hmm.
And then I taught, about 3 years up there, because I was married at 25.
And how did you meet your husband?
Well, he happened to stop by the school one evening for something that he had left there for some reason. I don't remember what it was. And then after that, just because he became acquainted with me, started to come and see me. He was from right there in that neighborhood. My first husband. I was married twice.
What was his name?
His name was William Arthur Harry. And of course, both of my children were his children. I didn't have, of course, any children but my second husband.
And what did Mr. Harry do?
He was a farmer.
Where was his farm?
Well, it was close to Prospect. And our post office was Whiteford.
Do you remember much about that farm?
Well, it was 135 acres. And then I got into doing things that were just different from my teaching. Having a board and a hand to work on the farm, and then having all those different times, you know, that there'd be hay baling, and there'd be thrashing and all that sort of thing, you know. And I, lots of times, you know, I'd have a whole big crowd of men to cook for. So, and then I helped out at the dairy. Sometimes I'd be starting, didn't feel like doing things in the house when I'd get back in the house. But you had to keep everything so clean as far as milk cans and the milk machines and all that were concerned, you know. Because if you didn't, why they'd check your, somebody'd come in there unexpected, that's it. Then you never knew when they were coming to look around and inspect everything. And so I kept everything just very clean so that I wouldn't just have to worry about being stopped from shipping milk. And then, of course, I had the housework and two children. They were 2 years and 5 months between us.
What were their names?
Robinette was my girl's name. She was the older of the two. And my son's name is William Arthur, for his junior, is for my husband.
Mm-hmm. And are they still in Hufford County?
No. My daughter taught school there. She grew up, she taught school here in Hufford County for a while, at Forest Hill. But then she was married and went to New Jersey, and after her husband died, well, then she went teaching again over there. But my son was in Baltimore, and he passed away when he was only 51.
Let's see. Well, on the farm, did you have to do were you sort of isolated, or how did you go about getting your, did you raise most things on the farm?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had a garden, and of course we had crops. My main thing though was, you know, the dairy, and I kept a lot of cows. My main livelihood was milk check every month, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did raise corn and wheat and all that to sell.
When you got your milk ready to go, how did you get it to
market? Why, there was a truck that would take it to Baltimore.
Did you get down, where would you go shopping when you were?
Well, lots of times come to Bel Air.
What was it like at that time?
Well, it wasn't near as large as it is now by any means, of course, but there were a few main stores that I'd come down and get groceries, you know. But Whiteford was closer, and the belt up there was a regular thing, and, you know, go up there to the store every once in a while. I'd pay by the month when I get the milk check, I'd pay on my grocery bill. Now, of course, when I go to the store, I pay right then. I don't wait till the milk check comes in.
Okay, now let's see. How long did you stay up on the farm?
Well, came down here in 1960. So I've been here 20 years. And, of course, I had a large house up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on this farm, and I had 35 acres of woods, and restless, tillable land. And of course, had barn, a lot of outbuildings and big garden and all that sort of thing.
Was living on the farm different from what you had been used to living at home with your parents?
Oh, yes. Living in a parsonage and living on a farm were two different things. I should say so. And I always said when I was growing up, I remember saying that, well, we used to, when we were children, we used to go to visit some of the farmers in their lives, you know, and some of them that we were real well acquainted with, we used to stay, you know, sometimes two or three days in the summertime when we weren't going to school. And I just got disgusted with all the work they were doing. And I said, that's one thing I'd never do, was marry a farmer. They had to work too hard. And then I did just that thing.
Well, then I guess you still were pretty active in the church?
Oh, yes. I was active in the church up there. I held all kinds of church offices in the church work. And then when I came down here, it was the same thing. On commissions in the church and president of the Women's Society up there and down here too. And on the official board, they call it now the administrative board for the Methodist Church. And then I had missions for the church. Just gave that up a few years ago. And I still am active in several different things, you know, in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I'm the homemakers. I started the homemakers here in Colonial Acres. And that's a very nice thing for women to go to because they learn to do a lot of things that help them out in homemaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have nice programs for the homemakers and interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When did you meet your second husband?
Well, the first husband had been dead for 5 years when I remarried. And my second husband was up about Dallas. And he somehow or other found out about me and asked if he could come and went with me for a while, and then we got married.
And what was his name?
His name was Hugh J. Scott.
And was he a farmer also?
No, he was a gardener. But then he had retired by the time he was married to me. He had retired, and I had trouble getting help on the farm, so up until we moved down here in 1960. He helped. I didn't do so much then, but keep up the dairy and ship milk and of course I still was raising corn and meat. But he commenced working on the farm then, but I had other hired help.
Was it hard to get used to living in Delaware?
No. Well, the reason I came down here, I got hurt in an automobile accident. And I just couldn't run the farm. I had to give it up. And so that was the reason I came down here to a smaller house, and a big, large house up there. So I got a small house. And for a long time after I came here, I wasn't I was still going to specialists for these injuries that I had received at the top of my spine, and My right arm was hurt. And so, for a while after I came here, I just was running to the specialist, and then they finally said that I'd just have to live with the rest of it. I was better. And they put me on for a lot of different things here in the church, and I just continued in the church with them. And then about 1961 is when I started the Swing Makers for 4 years. And now I'm still I was president of we started the Golden Age, and I helped the Parks and Recreation to get that started for Bel Air. And first there was only this one, and they came here, met at our church, and they were coming from all parts of the county. Then I helped Parks and Recreation to get the one started down at Aberdeen and one at Howard Grace, and then later on they started them at the church road and some other places. So then we, Golden Age here in Bel Air was mostly the people, you know, not too far from Bel Air that had come then. But right at first, for a year or so, I had people, I guess for the first year, I had people from all over the county. Women and men both. But, you know, they're up in age. And that was nice. And they've kept it going. I was just there yesterday. I was president for 5 years, and then I resigned. But having something else, our Bible study on Wednesday, I've just been going after the Bible study, get there in time for lunch, you know, and for their afternoon program. But I'm still going to that because they made me an honorary member of it after I'd been the president for 5 years. So I don't have to pay any dues. They honored me in that way, you know, but they were glad to have me back whenever I could come, whenever I wasn't having something else at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I could generally get there around lunchtime for the afternoon part that they would have the program, but I'd miss the business run some times because the Bible study would run over time. They'd meet 9:30 and they'd run over time. They'd get through with it and then stand around and talk before they'd bring me home. Or before they'd take me to the church for the, because that meant at the people's homes for the Bible study.
Well now, I don't want to change the subject, but I thought it's interesting that you've lived through practically 100 years of history of our country and Harford County, and I'm sure one thing that I wanted to ask you about is the different time periods. Since you were born in the 1800s,
1884.
Do you remember, it wasn't that long since the Civil War, and I wondered about, what do you remember about the black people around in the county at that time?
They didn't get recognized at all, hardly, the whites. But now when I doing county work, and I'd get up a program, I'd have the black people to come, you know, and take part. And the black people have always respected me because that, you know, I think that I was one of the first ones to show him respect and invite him to come to church meetings.
Where the church is concerned?
Yes, Ames, there was an Ames church here that's black.
Were most of them farm hands, or what were they involved in?
Yes, they worked on the farm a good bit. I never had I never had much black help because there weren't many black people up there where I lived before I came down here. Mm-hmm. Not too many around then.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any resentment? You know, you think about right after the Civil War and further on, the Ku Klux Klan and that, those kind of activities. Was there anything around here like that?
Well, there was some, but not very much. There was never anything that bothered me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about now, the Spanish-American War? Do you remember that at all?
We just remember about the Star Spangled Banner being written, you know, and I visited there where it was written, you know, Fort McHenry.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 1812. So, you see, that's been over a long time for us, too.
Okay, what about World War One?
Well, I remember. I just remember about it taking place.
Did it have much effect on your life?
No, it didn't have very much effect. Except that it was difficult, you know, to have good farm help. Especially in World War II, because, you know, some of the young people going to war while they wouldn't be around, you know, to help on the farm.
Did you have to, like, give up anything to give to the war effort? Do you remember buying bonds or anything?
No, but the things at the store were rationed, you know. It's hard to get some things that, you know, you can only get a certain amount of things like sugar or something like that, you know. You can only get a very small amount.
Hmm. What about the Depression? Do you remember about the times?
Well, it, of course, it was, you didn't have very much money, and you had to be very economical about everything, you know. So, you didn't have very much money to just get a whole lot of extras. We just got what we needed, and that was it. Didn't put on any airs of buying elaborate things, you know, elaborate clothing or anything like that. That's what we needed, and that had to do.
Do you remember if many businesses around Hartford County had failed during the Depression?
Businesses.
Mm-hmm.
No, being on a farm, I didn't have to know very much about and it kept me busy, you know, tending to things on the farm and raising the children and church work and community work and all that. And I wasn't, not being in that kind of business, really.
Mm-hmm.
My not making a livelihood that way, but I don't remember too many businesses that closed on the town.
Do you remember the banks being closed?
Oh, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that.
How did people react to that?
Well, they just had an awful time about their money. And some of them, I guess, lost their money, you know, when the banks closed. But I didn't happen to lose any money that way. I was fortunate that I didn't.
Did you not have money in the bank?
No, I didn't have a savings account or something like that to, I just put money in there just to check out for my needs, you know, paying the monthly bill.
Mm-hmm. So what, did you keep your any extra next day at home?
Well, I just have to get my check cash and keep my cash on.
What about the prohibition? Do you remember that?
Well, I remember that about the temperance part. I belong to a temperance union, but those things are so far back that I don't remember too much. I remember more since I came down here, being in going to things around here.
Mm-hmm.
When I do about those back things, I guess because of unpleasant things, but I try to forget them and forget the good things.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that rather than the good things.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, now I know you've been active too in Republican politics.
Yes, yes.
Now, how
I was president of the Federation of Republican Women. I guess I had that job for 25 years anyhow. They kept putting me back and putting me back.
Now, how did you get involved in politics?
Well, I just happened to be a Republican. And my first husband was a Republican. My second husband was a Democrat, but that didn't make any difference. We got along all right. But I joined the Republican Party and here in Harford County after I don't remember just what age I was. But very shortly after I was joined by the made me president, and I went on and was president for so long. And then gave it up and wouldn't have it anymore, well, I wouldn't be president any longer. But of course I continued to go, and we just dissolved that Federation of Republican Women just about 2 or 3 years ago. And because most of them that belonged to it were getting up in years, you know, and they couldn't, they were getting so many of them couldn't drive or something like that, and they thought that it was getting down. Well, it was a right large club up until a year or so after I gave up being resigned as president, and then it seemed like it commenced dwindling, people getting older, of course, and not driving and all that, and so finally just a few years ago they gave it up.
Do you remember when women got the right to vote?
Well, that was 1920, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I just remember that about it happening. Remember, just remember that we thought we were very proud, you know, that we could go and vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you were in a temperance league locally. Did you mean the Hartford County
WCTU, Women's Christian Temperance Union, belonged to that for several years.
And what did they do? What kind
well,
of...
They were great on the prohibition and all, anything of that sort, and they... well, that was really mostly what they were trying to do, was to try to teach temperance instead of people using alcohol so much. It certainly would have been a good thing if they could have kept it up and kept it away from a lot of youth now and now things that the young people are just getting terrible on drugs and alcohol too. Of course, there's a lot of good things for good young people, but a lot of them that are very wise. Yes, well, I was president of the Federation of Southern Republican Women. I used to have dinners around in all the districts, and I, worked in the churches from all over the county. Why, I could have them to furnished a meal in each district. I'd select a church and ask them if they would have a meal, and then I'd select all the people that were, invite all the people that were running for office, that gave them a chance to advertise themselves all, from spring on. And then in the fall I'd have these suppers again, and around all the districts, and it certainly did help them. People didn't have to say, well, who's he? they knew from seeing him out these dinners and all. And of course, we met every month and had a meeting. I used to have nice programs and have speakers to come. And then other times I'd just get up the program things that were interesting to the Republican Party and all that.
Were there many Republicans around?
Well, of course it was the, not anything like the Democrats, particularly in Harford County. This county was great for Democrats, And some Republicans changed when they came to Harford County, just because, there wasn't much, they didn't pay much attention to the Republicans. And they'd almost to get a job, you had to be a Democrat. So, and I guess it's not too much better now. I'm hoping it will be. You're taking this all down, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord bless me. I would have been careful, but what I was saying, I was just thinking I was talking to you. All of a sudden, I realized that you were taking them down.
I'm sorry. When I came in, I said, no, I'm going to turn it on. let's see. Well, what else could we talk about?
Well, I could show you these, I got the awards from different things, but I didn't have any of them around here handy. Here's just one from Bel Air, and one from the state.
outstanding senior citizen of the Greater Bel Air Area, awarded on the 22nd day of February 1976. The Certificate of Accomplishment for Maryland's Most Outstanding Senior Citizen to Virginia Scotton by the Maryland JCs on the 27th day of March 1976.
Something for the county and the honored me.
Uh-huh.
But that's cut off down there.
Uh-huh.
Something that gives the name down
uh-huh.
there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That's awesome. So much.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. And of course you saw this.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anybody that you thought was really special as you lived in Harford County that was sort of interesting?
My brother-in-law was the state senator.
Who was? What was his name?
His name was D.Q. Harris. D. Garfield Harris went by the name of Garfield. He was state. He was a Republican, but he was state. Happened. He's about the only Republican I have ever known that was a state senator. You don't know of any, do you?
Not for half a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was.
Hmm.
He was younger than my husband. And, I don't remember, you know, all the cattle, but the Republicans not having very many, Republican people getting into office because there's such a few of them here.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I don't remember very many of the pizza across the county in any way.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, now the Methodists were really in, seems like, a majority in this county.
Yeah.
Seems like everybody's a Methodist.
Yeah. I go to church every once in a while.
Do you remember fire and brimstone sermons? What was going to church?
Well, like? I'll tell you, my father wasn't so much for that. He had revivals around at all the churches. He served so many churches while before we ever moved here in Harford County, where he had 9 churches to look after, and he'd have a junior pastor with him, but the junior pastor would be going to college, and he'd only be there where he could help with the work over the weekend. But, and of course, and buggy days then, and he would have these revivals in the fall. He'd start in September and it would take him up till Easter before he'd get through with all the revivals at the different churches, you know. And I never heard a word out of him that he'd travel and get home and be nearly frozen. After cold weather started in, and you just sit by a little old oil stove, you know, an oil heater, and get thawed out, and be about morning before you ever get to bed, because you'd be so cold when I first came home and couldn't go to sleep. So they had. He was not so much, but some ministers were, for that thing of, you know, they preach terrible long sermons and, as you say, fiery darts and all that. But my father wasn't too much. He was a little more sensible about his preaching.
Do you remember when you saw the first automobile here in Hartford?
No, I don't remember just what year or anything. But, I guess it wasn't so terrible long after we came to Hartford County with the commencement and all the mobiles. But, my father was still doing that with the mission boat. I remember, up on the farm, I had mules, a mule team, and horses. But my husband didn't get a car until, the children, until my son was 16, old enough to start running the car. And my husband got a car just ahead of that, a little ahead of that. But he never had much training or anything, you know, and he didn't like running the car. So that just as soon as my son was 16, I was my son. So it was a little while there that my husband was afraid about it. I know, you know, all those years. He was a good bit older than I was, and he, it was difficult for him to learn to run a car because of his age, and because all those years he'd been used to going a different way, traveling a different way.
Did you have electricity out on the farm?
Well, I got it after I'd been married for many years. I got electricity, but when I was first married, I didn't have electricity.
What was that like, getting that? How did they do it?
Well, I just was kind of pushed to do it because keeping the milk cool. And got tired buying ice. So then I put in electricity in the barn in the house. And that goes good. But that was after I'd been married 7 years. So we did that. So I was working the hard way too many years before I ever had anything that would lighten my burden of work, you know.
What about the telephone? Did you have a telephone when you got married?
No.
When did they put that in?
Well, I guess I'd been married. I don't know what the hell I had to put in the farm. Just been married. But, you know, I never tried to remember the dates of those kind of things. Because just when they came into my life, I just accepted them, and I was so glad to get them that I didn't think that I ever needed to just remember the dates of things.
Well, what was it like? Did you have certain rings to answer?
Well, there'd be a whole lot of people on the same line. And Lord's mercy, you could use the phone, you know. You couldn't use it to be somebody talking. And sometimes they'd just carry on such long conversations that they'd have to wait a long time. And, we considered it a great funeral service because we were only too glad to get something. Sometimes your neighbors would be listening when you wished they wouldn't be. If you had anything, you know, that you wanted to tell, that it wasn't any of their business. But that's the way people used to
know a lot about what was going on in the different families. Just because there was so many on the telephone line.
Well, what do you think, what is your impression about Harford County in general? Like, you came here from Pennsylvania and...
I came here from we lived in a lot of counties. After I was born in West Virginia, and then we served one place in Highland, Pennsylvania. All the rest of the time, up until I was 17, 18 or something along there, when I came. I think I must have been about 18 when I came here to Harford County. But we were moving there a little while, and we just moved around different places, as I say, where my father was sent to look after a large circuit, they called them then. Now they call them charges. But it made me appreciate when I did start teaching school and staying in one place, why I liked Harford County very much and the people of Harford County. That's the reason that after my husband died, my second husband died, my daughter wanted me to come live with her, but I'd rather live here. Because you do what you please in your own home. Of course, I enjoyed going over there and visiting and all that, but which is what I want to say, but she doesn't have as good health as I have, so therefore I think it's a good thing that I stayed right where I am.
Hmm. I'm trying to think what else we want to ask you about.
You know, other people that came here, they wanted to know about the present time and all of this back number stuff. the back number thing. Well, I'm not I didn't pay too much attention, as I say, about them. And that's the reason I was more up, you know, when they'd come, well, they wanted to know what I was doing now. And I didn't think about you wanting a whole lot of back history. I didn't know that's what you'd be interested in.
Well, I thought that, you know, since you'd seen so much of the change in Harford, I wondered, like, what the roads might have been like back in those days.
They didn't have good roads, that's for sure. And, some of the time in the wintertime, we didn't just get to go anyplace hardly. And the church that I attended was right close to where I lived, and in case, you know, the roads were too bad, and we'd walk. Just about half a mile from home. I don't guess it was quite that. From where I lived on the farm, but I went to one church, and then they commenced having the services there early in the morning, in order for the preachers to get around to the different churches. And so then I stopped going to the church right there close to me and went to Emily Church. And that's where I belonged before I moved down here.
Did you ever take a ride on the Mount Pie down to Baltimore?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, that was slow. But we got there. Well, they ain't been told for years. That was, I remember when I was going there to be treated after I had had this accident, automobile accident, where I still was going down to Baltimore to specialist on that long haul. Used to go down there and shop and all that, but it was, you go down there, it was a day's job. You know, you go down and then by the time you buy some things and come home, you have the day going.
Where did you catch it on?
Red Wiper.
And where else did it stop? Did it stop along the road?
Oh, yes, it stopped at every little place. Yes, it certainly did. It took it a long time.
Do you remember how much it cost to go down there?
No, I don't remember that. Of course. Exactly. I expect it was $2 each way, maybe.
Did you ever drive the horse and buggy?
No. No, I didn't.
Why not?
Well, I just didn't. Mm-hmm.
And did you didn't drive?
No, I didn't drive.
Did you ever want to?
No, my husband always drives, and so I just didn't need to drive, so I just never drove.
Hmm.
Nowadays, of course, the women can drive just as much as the men, almost. But in those days, well, the women would look after the children and the men would do the driving.
What do you think about today of all the women's lib and equal rights and things? What do you think about that all?
Well, I think it's I think they go too far, maybe. I think it's all right for women that work hard to get a good salary. And if they do the same amount of work, the same kind of work, I think that's only fair. But I still like to see the men be at the head of the home. And the women do their share, but I don't believe in the woman just trying to surpass her husband.
Well, now, we didn't talk too much about when you've come to Bel Air, and I wanted to talk about that and see. In the 60s,
mm-hmm.
You came to Bel Air.
Yeah.
Now, what was it, or why did you choose to live here in Coronado Acres?
Well, when I got hurt, I was out there, as I say, one night somebody else was driving my car. And it looked safe when we got to the pipe there, and that was about half a mile from where I lived on the farm. And before we got across the pipe, why, this car came down and ran into us. And so I got hurt, and then I couldn't get help on the farm, and I just had my husband. Thought he was hurt more than he was. It affected his mind, finally. And so I was really hurt. And I couldn't do the work that I was used to doing on the farm and the dairy and so forth. And so I just had to sell the farm. And they knew I had to sell it because I couldn't get help. And So I couldn't get a very, I lost a good bit on the farm. I should have gotten a whole lot more for the farm than I did. I lost $200,000. And then I came down here and I knew that the way I was feeling and all that, I couldn't look after a large home. And that's the reason I looked around for a small home, and I looked around down there and didn't get what I wanted. It was for sale at that time. And then with these homes out here, they didn't have too many already built. But I just got tired looking around and just decided that this was large enough and looked like a nice community. And what it was up at that time, it was a little bit more houses after I came here. So I settled on living here. And it wasn't so far before I could get into church. And of course, my husband was driving the car, and then my second husband, he drove the car, of course, long before I married. And after I was married to him, of course, I never was going in the horse and buggy. But he came down here in 60, and in 63 he passed away. So he didn't live here so long, but and he was in the hospital about 18 months previous to his death. So and then he had trouble. And that was trouble, so he had to be taken to the hospital in 63, 18 months before 63, so in 63 he passed away. And then from that time on, I was living by myself. And I always just took an interest in church affairs and community affairs and just had plenty of places to go, you know, and that way I wasn't going to. And got along very well, looking after a small home. And I was going to the Republican Club and the Homemakers and all the things of church, why it just took up a good bit of my time. But outside of keeping the home, I didn't need any work, any other work, only getting up programs and things for meetings and attending meetings. So I just have enjoyed it. Of course, it was a sad time, most times that my husband died, and for a while I slackened up on things, and then after they both been dead for a little while, and then I started going back to doing things. Real strong and all that, you know, in the church. But I let up a while, even when after their death. Of course, it was a sad time for me then, each time that I lost my husband and I lost my son. But, as I say, I'm going someplace. So much that just happened when I didn't have the Christian women. They have things on Thursday, and I go two Thursdays. The first, the second Thursday is a luncheon out at the Dolphin Country Club, and we have a special speaker and special meeting. And I'm an officer for that. I'm a hostess every time for that. And then I was a leader for the prayer and share that went around at the homes on the fourth Thursday. So you just happened to hit me at on one Thursday that I wasn't going. And the first Thursday, I go to the circle for my church. We have circles in the Women's Society, and they have several different circles, and I go to a morning circle on the first Thursday. So you just happened to hit the right Thursday that I didn't have anything that I had to go to. That's only a way I happen to be home today.
Resting up the weekend.
Yeah. Well, Saturday I go to an all-day meeting at another church, the moon, because I get invited to go. I got up the things for the different churches, you know. When they have something special, they invite me, so I go, and that's the way I happen to go over to the Calvary Baptist once in a while when they have something going on. Especially during their Easter. You know, that Easter they have had their special services to have a different minister. I know the ministers, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the county. So going with the other churches. And sometimes when they have special speakers to come from the distance or something, or something. Different churches will call me up, Presbyterian Church or Lutheran Church or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason that all together, well, I do have a lot of places that I go.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of people that are a lot younger than you that don't go half the amount that you go.
I know. I certainly, that's what people say. It's hard to get me over the phone because I've attended some of them doing something special. Some other church or own church things they have and community things.
Yeah.
And I still, of course, go whenever I hear tell of anything for the Republicans.
Well, now, have you seen the Methodist Church change very much?
Well, they have retained some of the rules of the Methodist Church, but a good many things have changed, and I like the things that they have. They have, of course, different things, like the women have a meeting once a month in all of the different circles, and then each circle has a meeting each month, and then they have different things going on at the church, different nights and different mornings, and I generally attend things at our own church, firsthand. If there's two or three things going on, why I go to my own church. But if there's something at my own church. But if I can, why? When I get invited to other churches, why I go to some of those special times that they have things going on.
Hmm. Has the church organizations changed very much? I mean, they don't have circuits, or do they?
Well, they don't have very many circuits. So they call them charges, but they don't have very many charges anymore. They're mostly what they call stations, one church.
Well, I guess Southern Methodist is a very large station.
Mm-hmm, yeah. We have close to 1,600 members. How many members do you have, church?
900. 800, 600.
Mm-hmm.
It's lost number.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Reverend Price has his handful, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But it's going down some since
mm-hmm.
Dr. Pugh left.
Mm-hmm. And even while he was there, it was losing number.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I thought maybe that he had kept up very good while he was there.
No, not later here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's there. Do you ever go up to the Dublin Church for anything?
Yes, I was up there and they had a celebration not very long ago. About 6 weeks ago or something like that. All day there. They had Reverend Moose, who used to be there when they built the present church. And they've been done a lot of improving to it just lately, and that's the reason they had the celebration. So they had Reverend Moose, who's been living in Florida for years and years, and they had him come back and be there for the homecoming. And then in the morning they had the district superintendent, Reverend Coon. We get a new district superintendent now. Reverend Coon had it for 5 years, and they have to go out when they serve 6 years, and so he has a chance to get a good, they go back to a regular pastor, and he has a chance to get a good church in over close to Washington this year, where it wouldn't be open for anybody next year, so he just gave up 1 year of his being superintendent, and went back to being pastor sooner than he was required to, just because he thought he wouldn't have very much of a chance at a good place next year. So we're getting a new one. He's coming from Frederick. He was pastor of a church up in Frederick, and he's going to be living here in Bel Air. Our parsonage for the superintendent is here in Bel Air. And they have about 99 churches in the district, the East Baltimore district. He superintends all the pastors throughout, Methodist pastors of the Baltimore Conference throughout that district. And they have about 6 different districts throughout the conference.
When your father was being a minister, was he paid a salary?
Yes, and a very little bit, too. And he didn't always get all his salary. Now, mind you, his salary was supposed to be $600. Now, just imagine $600. And a lot of times, I never hardly knew him to get the full amount. They didn't think anything of it if they didn't get saved. It didn't bother them too much. And some places now, when we live in Anne Arundel County, they used to bring a lot of vegetables to us. So many vegetables, we couldn't use them. They used to come there and unload a whole cartload of watermelons and cantaloupes and things like that. Help us out that way, but we couldn't use them, you know. We had more than we could eat. But that was supposed to help along, you know, with the salary, because the people didn't have the money to have a big salary. Now, this is what they get. And they have their car paid, we're even buying a new car for our place. And pay for a whole lot of the things, the extra besides a big salary.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now in the same way of teaching, were you paid by the school?
Well, yes, yeah, but I didn't get very much for a whole month at school. It was very good. Those things have changed that way.
Do you remember any of your students that you had that you still have a touch with now?
Well, they're not very many of them. Their new old place has passed away. There's a Paul Wilhelm that was a dentist up in Delbrook, in Cardiff, and he started school with me when he was only 6 years old. His wife was in the first grade, too. And there are very few of those people that have been to school with me that are still living.
Well, now, how did you originally get your job in Harford County?
Well, I had to pay for an examination.
In Harford County?
The superintendent of the school gave the examination. I had to take an examination and pass that examination in order to get a school. And he gave... I got first class, even though I had to take an examination. And of course, I didn't have the slightest idea what the questions I would have or anything. Just like I didn't have the slightest idea of juvenile asking me all the things from history.
Well, who was superintendent then?
Mr. Wright.
Huh?
There was a Wright before the last one. There was a Charles T. Wright. Now, I think of that. The last one was Mr. Wright.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a Charles T. Wright, which was just as then from out.
And did you choose the score? They said.
When you'd hear of a vacancy, you had to go and apply for it. And they had trustees and trustees and saying who they would select as a teacher.
Oh.
And then they selected me. I didn't ever thought I was such a little kid. And I heard them talking about the little school teacher. That's when I went and got hairpins and put my curls. I had long curls and went on here. And I put it up on the head with my hairpins and because I thought then they'd think that I was better able to control the skills. So I didn't have any trouble with that. That was a lot of room, you know. I didn't have any trouble with them keeping the rules and they behaved themselves.
What kinds of things, what subjects did you teach them?
Well, I taught them everything from that house. In first school, as I told you, I had the first four grades in the morning. And then the afternoon, I taught the other teacher there. I was teaching the higher grades, but she had never, she couldn't teach algebra and Latin and some things like that. So after, in the afternoon, I had to teach substitute music. So I had all of the teachers here, there, and the other place I was all by myself, and I was in the first in the ninth grade, rhetoric and algebra and geometry and all those things. Yeah, everything was geometry.
Now, how did you learn all those things in order to teach them?
Well, that's right. I had taken a teacher's course at Washington College. And then I did a lot of studying. I got some books from the government school and did a lot of studying. I went to the first room there and then got up right away and then I went and took this examination and went and applied for school.
Were you scared the first day you went in to teach?
No, I wasn't scared of it. In those days, I wasn't scared. I used to help Father with them. He was on the board of the examiners for the preachers that were coming into the conference. And they had a lot of Bible things to study, books from the Bible and all that. And I used to study all that and help Father out when they gave me the examination to the young teachers at the time in this costume. So, later on, when they started having places like that, as I told you, the normal school and all, people would go and take it was only a 2-year course then, and then later on they made it a 4-year course. And then they graduated from there, well then they could apply for school. And that's where it was in my daughter, in school, in college.
Were there many schools at this time?
Mm-hmm. Not too many. But they had in a different neighborhoods, you know. Before they were just starting when I was teaching out there in Greenwood Grady. Well, they just had started their high school in Bel Air. And then later on, they had more high schools than different places.
Now, where is the Greenwood Grady? I don't know.
That was up there about 3 miles from Bel Air. That's it. You know where that Mount Zion Church is?
Mm-hmm.
Right outside Bel Air, about 3 miles. Well, that's the school, right close to the main school. And then after they got high, got into a residence but to the school that the people live in now, so then when there's a good boss.
Do you remember any funny experiences or anything that you had while you were teaching?
No, I don't remember too many funny things that happened. It was too much of a, in the wintertime particularly, keeping the schoolhouse warm and seeing the many children and all those different courses and studies that were attended to and taught. But you didn't have time for explanation issues.
Well, did many people of your students go on to high school after that?
Well, yes, some of them did. But not too many.
There was not
a lot. A lot of times they were just lucky to get to the country school, you know. Hmm. Well, they got by some kind of way. But I used to have young fellows that came in there after school was out and would have me teaching them, you know, some things to help them to get to when they wanted to get some office jobs or something like that, and there's something that happened not to be working on the farm. And they were over in Iowa. And they'd come there and ask me if I would help them, you know, with the learning some things that would help them out and get a job.
Was there any jobs for them to get?
Not too many. Mm-hmm.
Were there any industries around that they could go into?
Well, you didn't get jobs or any things like that. As I say, there weren't very many, unless they were going to try to teach school or something like that, you know.
Did you have to make a lot of things on the farm, like because you didn't apple butter? And
oh, yes. Yes, peel apples, you know, one home afternoon, up late in the night, and then get up the next morning and get the kettle out and start making apple butter and cook it nearly all day. Put cider in it, you know, cider, apple butter, fruit cider. So we used to make fruit cider and have it at home. And then we tried it and we used it up and get rid of it before it just to have a little bit maybe that we turned and then we just left it. We didn't use it after it got hard.
What about, did you make your own bread?
Oh yes, I baked my own bread. Did everything like that, all the mushrooms.
How'd you get your flour?
We got it from the mill. We take the wheat to the mill.
What mill did you take it to?
Well, there was a mill out of town, Powell's Mill. After I was married, we went to, I believe that was the closest one we had. And we'd get to take a whole lot of wheat. We didn't have that.
And, let's see, was the mill place where a lot of people met, and it was also a congregation, So that way we could talk every day?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, you'd see some people that be drive up from the railway. There'd be a few people around there ahead of you, you know, and you get to talk to them. Then some would come while you haven't reached ground, and you'd see several of you.
Do you remember any bad storms or things like that that hurt your farm?
Well, I'll tell you, some thunderstorms where I had the cows, real good cows killed. You know, we turn them out after we finish the milk in the morning, and there'd be thunderstorms sometimes at night. And they gather on the tree, and that was the worst thing they could do. And different years, well, I lost some very good cattle. Like, being killed away.
Did they have any farm service or farm bureau that helped?
Well, later on in the years, I belonged to a farm bureau. And then he was get me to look over what he had written, because he used to say that I knew English better than he did, and he wondered if he had any grammatical errors and wondered correctly.
Well, the congregation's very demanding on the pastor.
Well, but, you know, by the time they tended to all the churches and had all the different the Sunday services and the prayer meetings and the revivals and all the special times, had the special things before Easter and special things before Christmas, so there's an awful lot that they had, you know.
Well, sometimes in a small church, there's a group that's sort of cliquish, or they want special treatment, or they try to run the church. And I wondered back in those days if there was such a thing like that.
Well, they didn't. My father certainly got along well with people. That's the reason they had him on, you know, with so many churches, at so many different places when I was growing up. And I never heard tell of anybody falling out of father about anything.
I had often heard, now the Methodists, how would they baptize?
They christened.
Oh. They christened.
Instead of baptized and immersing them in the water, they would have just like a little bowl, silver bowl, that they'd have some water in, and they'd put their hand in it. they considered it a nice thing to do, and had the parents promise to bring the children up the way they should be led and looked after, and bring them up in the church. That's the way they regarded it as a nice thing to do. To christen them and name them, you know, give them their name. And so, of course, in the Baptist church, they put them down in the water and get the whole body wet. Have you, does it do for me to ask any questions in that school? I wonder whether you have gone around to a good many places, you know, and asked bygone questions.
Yeah, we've done about 50.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going through, it just takes time, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they have to arrange for you
mm-hmm.
when it's convenient.
Yeah.
And so we're doing right many.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get everybody possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we're taking the good ones first. Well, look.
She worked for the Democrats. That's the reason she decided to put in there.
Uh-huh.
Before you start that thing again, I'm interested in that Charles Arment, I don't know if you know him or not, he gave to me ahead of time. That's our church.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he gave one to both preachers. And one to Reverend Coon that was leading, you know, he was they had a farewell party
uh-huh.
for him.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. He has that kind of work in Bel Air.
Uh-huh.
He has a Baltimore job, but in Baltimore, but he and his wife started this place. It tells you on the back there.
Mm-hmm. Unique Woods.
Mm-hmm. So he made that.
Mm-hmm.
That's our church.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it showed to you.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Sure
is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have any words of wisdom for people in their golden age?
Well, what I said on that there, that she, I just happened to make that remark. About age, and she had something there that would be. What I tell people to well, as far as what I would tell people to do, to look on the bright side of life as much as possible. And help to help others, and not be afraid of old age, because I certainly am not afraid of it. I've enjoyed. I never think of it being. I've heard some people talking like, oh, they just everything's so monotonous and they don't know how to put in their time and all that. I never have time to get lonesome or to really, I'd like to be doing more than I do. I try every day to do some good deed. And if I haven't been someplace and done something to help somebody out some way or other, why call somebody that thinks lonesome and let them talk to me. And they're just so glad to hear from me that they just think of all I have to say is that hello, and they can talk for a long time because they haven't had anybody to call them for dear knows how long. And they're just so proud to be called, and they have so much to tell me, and I just listen. So that's So that does them a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do everything I can for the while the word that's mistaken. Do as much good as possible while I'm here. I find something to do every day. Since I tell you, if it comes to the evening and I think, well, now I haven't done so terrible much today. And that's when I start to call somebody that nobody else calls. They tell me sometimes, well, for goodness sake, I'm glad to hear from you, because not anybody else calls me. Nobody else is interested. I'm just staying here, just putting in the time and looking forward. So, I'm glad I've done it, you know. How about you telling me a little bit about it? That's your life.
See, I have to wait till I get to be your age. See, I'll be able to tell my great grandchildren that I knew you.
Well, when I go to a lot of places, you know, and I hear people saying, well, I've heard tell of you, and I've seen your picture in the paper, and I've read something about you, or somebody's told me something about you. You know, I don't have any idea how they get to know so much, but it seems like they do. The other day when I went to down there at the Pneumonium, that Bavarian festival, I don't know how many people I saw there that said that they had heard tell me of me, and that they knew friends that they had told them about me, and that they wanted to know about me on account of their relatives and their family that were so depressed and all that, you know, and that they thought it was worthwhile having somebody that they knew of that was just as happy now as ever they were, even if they were real old. So they appreciated it, and they said they're going home and try to get their mother. Two of them the other day said they wouldn't tell their mothers about me and tell them that they got stuck finding fault with things just saying that they can't do this and can't do that. Been telling that there's somebody that I've been having 6 months, and she's just having the time of her life. So maybe I help her a little bit. Well, by the way, how's your mother?
Fine.
Is she? Well, I certainly am sorry to hear about Calvin's after school. Back in the membership and everything.
Well, I think it's temporary. I think they're going to have to go some outreach.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's what big thing about all churches.
Yes. Well, you see, I have missions, global missions, and I just gave that up not very long ago because I've been having that for so many years. They put me on, you know, the preachers all, they don't like it when I resign from something. Because they say that when I'm in anything that I work and do the get up the wonderful programs and do a lot of work for them, but when they put young people on, well, they just their names are there and that's as far as it goes. They don't get anything accomplished. And since I resigned, I noticed that, but I wasn't saying anything because they weren't coming back and asking me to take it up like. For the missions, but I had a bishop from old familiar, and I happened to know that he was in Maryland, when I got in for the one of the things that I had, one of the service, and got up to he was very good, and I had different prominent ministers, you know, that would come, and when anybody had missions since I had it, they haven't had a thing like that. And I can see where the preachers do feel like, oh, I'm sick, I'd rather get somebody, even if she is old, that can get something done, than to just put them in and the names be there and let the old could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Be an office man or office man doing anything. And that was that reach when I had that mission. It was a lot of person. I raised a lot of money, you know, to send to different countries where they needed money, you know, missionary cards. So, thanks. I take myself to task sometimes and try to think of something else that I can do, you know, that would be beneficial. People.
Well, what do you think about these nursing homes and things like that for the aged?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't want to go to one if I can help it. Of course, the time has come. And that's the way with my daughter. She's not very well. And she's just threatened for fear that sometimes something happens to me, but she just has to go to her home, and she says they'll just, because she has the idea that they'll just come in and make her do so-and-so, and she won't have any chance to do what she wants to do. It'll be what they say. And she's looking a little depressed toward that part, you know, for fear that will happen to her after something like that. I have to pass away, you know, and she doesn't have me, and doesn't have her own home. She has a nice home now, but she has to have somebody come in and do some of the work. She's not allowed to run the cleaner, darn, or anything like that. And she's crippled up. She can hardly get around, and has too much pain all the time from arthritis. Heart trouble and stomach trouble, and I'm better than she is. Mm-hmm.
What do you think makes you so healthy?
Well, I don't know. I try to live a good life. I think that helps out. And I try to eat sensibly, and I eat plenty. Because some people just have junk food. Anybody's living alone, and they don't want to bother with getting meals. Well, I cook myself three big meals a day and eat sensible food and nutritious food. And I say the sad things. I try to get them straightened out and forget them as much as possible and look on the bright side. And I have a sense of humor that just helps me along. And you know now in the church, the men and the women had a reception for me not too long ago, and all the men came by, and they all kissed me, and some of them were taking pictures, and some of the women said they were trying to take pictures, just they couldn't get the pictures taken for a while, on the counter, and the men are kissing me, and they knew that I didn't want them. All the pictures were actually just one of the men going past the kitchen. So, and they're good about taking me to things, you know. Now we have a singles group in our church, and there's two men that belong to that. And at first I didn't join. And then the minister that we had before, this last one, Dr. Borton, he started the singles group because he thought there was some widows and some people, and that they
some entertainment or something like that. His thing was home a little bit. And he started, well, I didn't go to it for a while because I just thought, oh, well, I'm going to smell things on him. But then lately I started going, and it turned out. And the two men that belong, they take some of them drive on their own, but some of the men, they see to it that I get to go to someplace for a while. We went Sunday night, and we had, and then the 2 weeks before that, we had, when we had the meeting, where they met, the ladies of mother had been just on a trip to Polar Lake, and she showed pictures and gave the narrated it, you know, and so that everything would be understood what every place was and all the different churches and the important places where Christ had been, you know, and all that. And so it's a real nice to go to, and I'm leaving that from, you know, doing what I could for that. And sometime it'll be making here, and I'll get up to go with me. So I have enough to keep me busy, and every time I help out with the Bible study, and I'll do some studying before I go, you know, so that I can prevent some different thoughts. And so I have enough to occupy me all the time with what I do here and keep myself in good health and keep up on reading and looking at the news and a few good programs over TV that I look at. I don't look at any trashy things. And sometimes there are some of those. What do you look at?
Oh, I don't know. I watch a little bit of everything.
Please.